try and get away with that, but it doesn't really work. Mm.
Okay. Okay. Let's remember the last thing we were talking about, which was Mima'enes Ein Laknas. First shot is Rashi says it's talking about the onus in Pitun. Oops. Or Pitoy after the Miyod. And the Svara is because she's Bechezkas Be'ula. And then we just mentioned the Rishon had three different Pshatim, exactly what was the intent, what was the case. Was it where there was evidence that she had Yichud, or there wasn't evidence she had Yichud, and what's the Svara, and how did Yichud work out? Okay, we dealt with that last time. Tosos has a second era. Tosos says, no. It's talking about the Omnes and Pitoy. Al Yedei Bala in quotation marks, because I guess that's the point, right? Kodem. Right. And then Tosafot says the Diyuk of the Gemara works out better. The Diyuk of the Gemara is this Ketana doesn't have Knas, but other Ketana does have Knas. Then we see why, obviously, she's a Ketana. Before the Mion, she has to be a Ketana, because we hold that Mion can only be done while she's a Ketana. Without, before the Gemara goes into the technical over Yehuda, etc. So then the Gemara works out glut. There's an interesting kosher here. Tosos doesn't bother to explain the Svara. Right? Tosos doesn't bother to explain, so why does she not have Onus and Pitoy? What's the Havmina? The Havmina is this guy married her and slept with her. And then she did Mion and she retroactively canceled the marriage. Right? We pointed out Mion retroactively cancels the marriage. How do we know? Because he's allowed to marry her sister, and she's allowed to marry his father and brother, and etc. So now they were never married. She was a Pnuya. So that's what it says. The Havmina is, Im Ansa Baila Upito Sak Shahisa Tatum Kodim Biyun, Abgav Shemina Igloy Milsish Lohisa Ishto, Igloy Milsa Mafreya, that they weren't married. So if they weren't married, then maybe you should have to pay. Kamashwan, no. What's the Svara? The Svara obviously seems to be that the marriage exempts him even though it is retroactively nullified, right? It's Batal Lamafreya. Right? So, the question now, here's the question that Rechonin asks. Rechonin says, well, Pirsha Mayin, Lakasri, I got me going, Milsa Daisa Pnuya. Taka! Retroactively, they were never married. So, what is this for, according to Tosos? So, Rechonin here says something very lumdish and interesting. He says, it must be, this is a proof for the Yesod of Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim has a very, very fascinating Yesod. The reason why he has this Yesod, is not apparent from the quotation that I put on the Makoros sheet that has to do with what he's doing in that whole Rambam helps the esoteric base on the test. Whoever was here for Yibamos, how many years ago was that? What? 2 years ago?
Three years.
Okay, then we dealt with that at greater length at the time. So, why? So, Rabbi Chanan says, based on the Chiddush of Rav Chaim. What's the Chiddush of Rav Chaim? Rav Chaim has a tremendous Chiddush here. This Chiddush of Rav Chaim is a very fascinating, not only is it an interesting Chiddush about Miyun, he has a unique perspective on Miyun, according to Rav Chaim, he doesn't have a unique perspective. Tosfos has a perspective also. He has a special perspective on Miyun. In addition, this is a Svara that might come up in various contexts in Shas. What's someone summarize for me? What's Rav Chanan's whole what's Rav Chaim's whole Chiddush?
The two types of retroactive.
There are two types of retroactive. What do we mean by that?
some retroactives are retroactive acts, the things that happened back then also change, and the things that like we've always changed things that we kind of hop off based on the fact that it never happened.
Okay, you see, that's a little hard to express. When I learned about presence of IKEA, a phrase for expressing this, which doesn't explain it, yes, just a phrase. Normally, we think of Mikan Ulahaba versus Lamafreya. Mikan Ulahaba means we change things from now on, but it happened until now. This is like a get. A get is, this would be, for example, a get divorced from Mikan Ulahaba, but clearly they were married until now. That's why he can't marry her sister and she can't marry his brother, and et cetera, et cetera. Or, for example, let's say you have Mekartos. Mekartos nullifies the marriage of Lafreya. They were never married. They mistakenly thought they were married, but for all halachic purposes, they were never married. Right? Mion, according to the standard understanding, uproots it Lafreya. It was never a marriage. Why? Because she never had das, because she was a katana, and was special to Chedra Rabban El Tanai, and the Tanai was not fulfilled. So this is Mekartos, or Tanai. And, or, Mion, Shiloh Lefi Hagrach. Right? That's Lord Freya. They were never married. Vizel.
So Mekartos is like me. In that sense.
Correct. But what's the Chiddush of Rav Chaim? The Chiddush of Rav Chaim is that Mion is Lemafreya Mikan Lahaba. Right? I think Rosa, you say Mikan Lahaba Lemafreya, if I recall correctly. Meaning, he says it's somewhere in between. Mion is a unique kind of status. Why is Mion unique? Because on the one hand, it's not that there was no basis for the marriage ever. There's no flaw in the marriage. There was no mistake. There was no t'nai. On the other hand, she's uprooting it because there's no get being given here. She's just saying, I never wanted it in the first place. It's a special Tekanah D'Rabbanan. The nature of the Tekanah D'Rabbanan is, L'mafreya Mikan L'haba. What does he mean by that? Things that already happened while they were married. From now on, we treat it as if they were never married. What he means by this, and it's a big Chiddush, is, at the application, I admit, is subtle. What he means is that, regarding that it is for things that already happened, the Kiddushin is not batel. But, and of course, what already happened and what from now on means what things are is the sticky part. Things that happen from now on, it is as if she was never married. Therefore, if he wants to marry her sister from now on, it's as if they were never married. Right? If she wants to marry his father or his son or his brother from now on, it's as if they were never married. But things that already happened, or if she wants to marry Kohi now, it's as if she was already married. It's as if she was never married. From now on, it's as if she was retroactively never married. But until now, she was married. It violates the normal rules of logic. Okay, it's a special chalos to Ravana, or maybe you get more examples like this. Until now, she was married, but from now on, she retroactively has never been married.
So what are the things that already happened?
So what's his example? His examples there are Hafars the Dharam, for example. What if she made a neder and he was made for the neder? Then, she still doesn't have to keep the neder. Even though retroactively it's uprooted, but at the time it was bottle, and now we don't revisit that. Or he says, what about mominous relationships, right? He discusses here Metzia and one other thing, what?
Peros.
And Peros, right? What if he ate the produce of her land? Or she found a lottery ticket on the street and gave it to him. He doesn't have to return it, because once it was done at the time, we don't go back and uproot everything that was done until now. Whatever was done until now was done. But from now on, we act as if they were never married. That's the tremendous Chiddush of Rav Chaim.
since he has Peiros, how does everyone else, everyone holds that the Peirosis are still his? How would, if you don't do this, I mean, it would seem, it's not just the donor.
Meaning, how can you not say?
Have to hold this.
Okay. What?
It's all the Rabbanan.
Correct. Meaning the other option is just to say that because they didn't want to dissuade men from entering into this relationship, right? Chazal obviously understood this relationship was good for the girls. Again, it's a different social reality. Nowadays, if we had a 9-year-old girl who had no way of getting married, we wouldn't think it was helping her to marry her off. But in those days, Chazal saw that this girl was in trouble, and therefore, for her benefit, wasn't for the benefit of the men. Right. Men can find other girls to marry. They don't need to marry this girl. It was for her benefit. For her benefit, Chazal made this kind of kiddushe miyun, meaning kiddushe that could be uprooted through miyun. And since they made it for her benefit, they wanted to make sure the guys would agree. So you can just say, to make sure the guys would agree, they told him, you don't have to return any money, because otherwise it would be a disincentive.
But what, that's good for the money, but what about Hafaris Nadarim?
So what about Hafaris Nadarim? So Chor, what you have to say is that Hafaris Nadarim, first of all, you could say, Chor, what you have to say for Hafaris Nadarim is what the Gemara says elsewhere, that this whole sugya of Hafaris Nadarim by Miyun is talking according to the opinion that it's not only a husband who can be made for Nadarim. It's anyone who supports the girl, the woman, can be made for Nadarim, because she is in mind, but it depends on the person who gives her money. And therefore, since he gave her the money, she had in mind, that it depends on whether he agrees. Okay, you can get out of it.
That means the question about her never there.
That what?
I mean, the question about her of the client would never start, because the
far correct.
Comes from a lot based on...
Correct, in economy, correct, exactly. Now...
Can you go like a shop? You know, in the sense to say that the kiddushin is tofes for kol ha'inyanim chutz mi honest and mitpitui, because she thinks she's his wife at this point, so there's really no honest and mitpitui.
Okay, so hold that thought for a second. So Rav Elchanan says, yeah.
Dafke about
Miyun. Dafke about Miyun. No, he admits there's other kinds of Lamafreya that are totally Lamafreya. Only he doesn't say all Lamafreyas are only Hanalava Lamafreya. He says this particular thing is an in between kind of status, which is in between Lamafreya and Mikhanu Lahava. He admits there's pure Lamafreya, and obviously he admits there's pure Mikhanu Lahava. That's not the issue. So what does Rav Elchanan say? Rav Elchanan says, based on the Kiddush of Reb Chaim, Tosfos makes perfect sense. Why? Because once he's potter, thank you. Because it's not really uprooted l'mafreya. Only for purposes from now on, it's uprooted l'mafreya. If she wants to marry a Kohen, if she wants to marry his brother, etc. But it's not really uprooted l'mafreya. It's not really uprooted. And then it's obvious why he's not chayiv, because for things that happened at that time, they were married. It's only for things that happen from now on we view them as never having been married.
So,
could
she truma
that if
she marries a
kohen? You'd be
kiddushei
miyun. If she marries a kohen, be kiddushei miyun. Can she eat truma? I believe she can. Nearly that she can. We'll see the katana anyway. So
I mean, that becomes a little bit more difficult to justify, like the Chazal set it up that she's not doing it true, though.
That's a good question. I'm trying to think. Okay, I don't know. We have to look up. It's discussed somewhere. Anyone remember where we were discussing this? Okay. Yeah, it could be only Truma Drabon and Heimamru Behemamru. The truth is that forget about the Lumafreya aspect, right? If she's only married Drabon, how can she eat Truma? So it's because Truma Drabon she can eat. So then you could still go different ways. Okay. Lemaisa, however.
Does he have a Makorfus? He just gets it from the
Reb Chaim? No. The reason he says that we're not getting into now, it has to do with what he's discussing. You know, I took out about a tenth of this Reb Chaim. So, okay. What? Yeah. Anyway, Kitzer, this is a very nice Reb Chaim. It's a very nice idea. It explains Tosfos very beautifully. I like the Reb Chaim. I just think that you don't have to say the Reb Chaim to justify this Tosfos. Like, I just think you don't have to say the Reb Chaim to justify this Tosfos. Like, you could have easier ways of justifying this Tosfos without Reb Chaim. Like, I'm not sure why Reb Chaim was so sure you have to go to Reb Chaim. So you could also say, you could also just say that it's a Hefker Bezdin Hefker. just like, you know, Hayus and Metziya, Shalolofiya Grach, right? Meaning, why doesn't she have to return all the money if you don't hold like your Chayim? You have to say that Hefker isn't Hefker. He doesn't have to return the money because they didn't want her to start suing him afterwards because that would take away from the point of their Takana. If she could always sue him afterwards, if every time she was, you know, 11 years and 363 days old, she could, 364 days old, she could start making a cheshbon and suing him, then men would be reluctant to enter into this arrangement. And so maybe Chazal just made a hefker as an hefker that she can't sue him when she does miyun. So it's certainly possible, I know that's not what Joel was saying, certainly possible that just a general, you know, that maybe they made a general rule that she can't sue him. Even though, obviously, you know, maybe they didn't specifically have onus, and onus b'vatah also, what do you mean? Every husband is b'vatah his wife once in a while. So, what does it mean? Every time she has the option of saying, well, hold on a second, now I'm almost bat mitzvah, let me think, I can make 50 slayim by suing him for pitoy. So that would take away the takana. People would be reluctant to enter in this arrangement. So they made a general rule that whatever happens, happens, he can't sue afterwards, not because it's not retroactively uprooted, but just hefker bezdin hefker. I mean, it's hefker bezdin hefker either way, it's rabbanan. But a special takana, just in order to create a disincentive, in order so that she can sue him. And why did they make this takana? Not because of any fancy type of mafreya, but they made a rule that she can sue him, so that men would agree in the first place. I think what Joel is saying is something a little different, is that you could also explain to us in a third way. Lemaisa, at the time, he was supposed to be sleeping with her. Right? After all, they were, maybe retroactively they were married, but at the time, they were supposed to be sleeping together. That's the range of the Chachamim made.
It's a lot to Lemaisa, right?
What? Ah, okay, hold that thought for a second. But clearly, he had the right to sleep with her.
I mean,
and it could be that that's not called onus umefate, that, forget about the money, it has nothing to do with the money. Was he supposed to sleep with her or was he not supposed to sleep with her? He was supposed to sleep with her. If he was supposed to sleep with her, that's on the parsha of onus umefate. Onus umefate is sleep with someone you're not supposed to. Ah, David says, but he wasn't supposed to, maybe he's supposed to be a fatah, but he wasn't supposed to be ma'anis her. The answer is, he's not supposed to be ma'anis her, but that's a side problem. I mean, he's not supposed to be ma'anis her because he's supposed to be nice. Not because he shouldn't be, not because the end result of sleeping together is not something which he should be doing. It's because the way he goes about it, he should be nice. Just like, you know, if you owe me $20, and I beat you up and take $20, I'm a very bad person, you can arrest me. But what's wrong is not the end result of the $20. It's what is it? I went about it in a disgusting way. So okay, he might have gone about it in a negative way, but the end result was an end result that should have happened. Now, one could question that, but I think there's a reasonable assumption that Chazal tell us that there's such things as shibud. Okay, maybe
one. But it's the other way, though.
No, there's shibud both ways, the Gemara says in Dirt. Anyway, you could say, or you could say, if you want, it's a hefker bezdin hefker, they're afkir of money, or you could just say that kavan, kavan sheh, the Shaito, since at the time he was allowed to, maybe Lemafreya he didn't have a Sheba for Bia. Lemafreya nullified that he could not have sued her in court to sleep with him. Right? Because Lemafreya, they weren't married. But nonetheless, at the time he was doing something which he was supposed to be doing, maybe that's not called onus mefata. I mean, I don't know if it's exactly Rashach's reason, but that's not in the parsha of onus mefata. The parsha of onus mefata is only being ma'anish or mefata, someone you're not supposed to sleep with. If you're supposed to sleep with them, that's not in the parsha of onus mefata. And even though Lemafreya, he had no right to, I mean, even though Lemafreya, this is what you mean by Rashach, Lemafreya, maybe he had no shibud, she had no obligation to sleep with him. But nonetheless, at the time, he wasn't trying to sleep with a girl who was forbidden to him. He was trying to sleep with a girl who was permitted to him. Onus umefata. He was onus umefata, but the onus umefata is onus umefata girl who is not intended to, you're not intended to be together. Once you're intended to be together, maybe that's not in the parsha of onus umefata. Okay, so lemaisa, I think the reason why Tosfos is concerned is because it's easy enough to explain. You could say it's not onus umefata if you're supposed to be sleeping together. Retroactively, the marriage is bottled, but nonetheless, Chazal told you to sleep together at the time, right? They didn't say znus retroactively, right? Clearly, it's a recognized kind of non-znus relationship. Since it's non-znus, maybe that's not called onus umefata. Or just hefker bezen hefker, they exempted him because they exempted him from everything, because otherwise it would be ridiculous. She'd sue him, and then no one would ever marry her in the first place. Or you can say the Chiddush Rav Chanan, but you don't have to say the Chiddush Rav Chanan. It's a nice Chiddush. I like the idea. But for this Tosfos, you don't have to say Rav Chanan. You can explain this Tosfos in other ways also. Not sure. It's a good question. Nothing that I can think of offhand.
Just an aside, like if in a regular marriage, if the husband is ma'anis, the wife is dishkin, is there
So in a regular marriage, this is what I said to David. In a regular marriage, if the husband is ma'anis the wife, she can't sue him for the parsha of onus umefata for the 50 shekel. Right? Because what's wrong is not that they slept together. Maybe she can sue him for being mitzire her. Maybe she can, you know, he's clearly not being a good person. But the problem is not they slept together. Again, I think someone nowadays might, you know, from a different philosophy, might have a different perspective. Say, just because people are married doesn't mean they should be sleeping together. They should decide each time what they want to do. But I don't think that's what we believe. We believe when people get married, that part of the deal is they're supposed to be sleeping together. Okay, how to go about that is the same how to go about anything else. Even if you're supposed to get someplace, you still have to get there in the right way, and you're not allowed to hurt people on the way there. But she can't sue him for onus umefata, because onus umefata means the bia was inappropriate. Here the bia was appropriate, you just got there in the wrong way. So she could sue him or complain for getting there in the wrong way, but she can't sue him for the end result. That's what we believe. She could, you know, maybe he emotionally injured her or whatever, you know. Maybe he was, it's a good question. Right, correct. Meaning, clearly in the halacha, meaning the halacha does deal with women who refuse to sleep with their husbands, and the halacha says they're wrong and they can be sued and lose in court, but doesn't suggest that the answer is to be ma'anis them. Correct. Okay, but again, if he did, I think what he'd be doing wrong would be a different parsha, and would have nothing to do with our onus umefata. Our onus umefata is about whether the bia should have happened or shouldn't have happened. Okay, I just want to point out before we leave Mima'enes that the Ramban quotes Yesh Omrim, who has a third shot in Mima'enes. Did anyone notice the third? Rashi says it's talking that after the miyun, some other guy comes and is ma'anis umefata to her. And that is the whole question. How do we know she's a tanya of Diyuk and the Gemara? Tosu says, no, it's talking about the purported husband, who is now retroactively not a husband, so he might have been having his onus umefata, but no, he's not an onus umefata either for a Chaim's reason or because they made a technical takana, perhaps. What is the Ramban quote from the Yesh Omrim, a third explanation? The Ramban himself doesn't agree with this, but the Ramban, or doesn't prefer this pshat, the Shein Yesh Omrim, what does he say? What's the case? Someone? What? It's Rabbi Yosef Levin. Meaning, was it the onus of Pidah before or after the meal? According to this shot.
Yeah.
What?
After.
It was, no. Actually, he doesn't say, just to be fair, but I would assume before, if I understand him correctly, he'll tell me if you understand him the same way. He said it's talking about onus or Pidah Al Yedei Acher, Acharei Hakidushin, before the Miyan. I know he's not explicit about this, but the reason I say that is because since Miyan uproots the Kedushin Lafreya, and what's the Ptur? Meaning she is Mekudeshes Lemiyan. She didn't sleep with the guy yet. If she slept with the guy yet, she's not a Basula. Then this part, the whole parak doesn't apply. Right? Meaning, in what they call Kiddushe Miyon. Kiddushe Miyon means the Kiddushe that could be uprooted by Miyon. Just like in regular people, you do Kiddushe and then Nisuin. So too in Kiddushe Miyon. He does Kiddushe and then he does Nisuin. Let's say he did Kiddushe and then someone else came and was Ma'ani Shemrafat to her. So, after the guy did Kiddushin there, she's still a Basula, right? That's Basula during Kiddushin. We're not Hoshin people, Bola or Sussan, Beis Chamav, right? So, what's the Ptur here? Meaning, what's the, why is Ma'enes Ein Laknas? She's a Basula. She's Arusa, but there's no Kimlid Rabbanik, it's only Arusa Drabbanan, so there's no Chiyuv Malkus or Misa. So why doesn't this guy pay Knas? So the Ramban adds, Lefi Rab Yossi HaGalili, because what does Yossi HaGalili hold? That a Me'ureses no longer has Knas. Eirusin ends the Parsha of Knas. Not only, like, if he is Chayiv Misa for adultery in Eirusin. No. Even Eirusin, with a Nokin Rabine, let's say she was then divorced or widowed. Lefi She Me'ureses, or rather, She Hasover Isha Shenis Arsa Ein Laknas. That is the Rabban of the name of Yish Omer. Not a Ptur because of Be'ula like Rashi. Not a Ptur because of marriage, because the context of marriage is Potter like Tosos. But a Ptur because of Chalos Erisin. There's one Shiv Yosef Galili. There's three Tanoim on Daf. We'll get there. On Daf Lamed Chesav and Aleph. There's three Tanoim who argue what effect Erisin has on Knas. One Tana named Rabbi Akiva says it has no effect. Another Tana named Rabbi Akiva, but a different Masora, says, it changes who gets the Knas. Instead of the father, it's the girl. But Yosef Galili says, once there's Erisin, there's no more Knas. Why? Pasuk says, Isha Asher Lo Orasa. Now, Rabbi Sula Asher Lo Orasa. Once there's Erisin, the Parsha of Knas ends. So once there's Erisin, the Parsha of Knas ends. That is the sheet of the Ish Omer. The reason, Yaakov, I think it's before Mion, because after me it would be Ophir and Freya. Even according to Rechai, from now on she was never Arusa. So you agree. Okay, what's the Ptur? The Ptur is Chalos Erisin, which, again, only according to one of three Tanarim, Rabbi Yosef Lili, who holds Chalos Erisin as Poter.
Normally it doesn't make a difference, right? Because it's
Gimli with Rabbi. Normally it makes a difference if she would be recess and then divorced or widowed. That's his original case. Right? So the svara for the Ptur is, the svara is that a chalos erusin is poteres, again, only according to Rabbi Yosef Galili, but it could be Rabbi Yosef Galili. Okay, what's the chiddush according to this Ramban? What's the chiddush that a chalos erusin poters you? That it's only an erusin drabbanan. And here it brings up an issue that we're going to get into in a moment, right? What's the chiddush? The chiddush is, even though it's only erusin drabbanan, what are we saying? That drabbanan, even though it's only saying erusin drabbanan because of hefker bez and hefker, a chalos drabbanan patters from a chiyuv mamon to araisa. That's the chiddush here. The chiddush is that a chalos drabbanan mi drabbanan is poteres me chiyuv mamon de araisa. We know Darabonans can always change the Raisa, for example. If Darabonan say something might be mutter, it doesn't take away an Isra Raisa, they can't override an Isra Raisa. Right? What about in Mominos? So in Mominos, Chazal can do whatever they want. Hefker bez and hefker means they can give anyone's money to anyone. So it's a question of how they chose to conceptually structure their takanas. Did they say, we're going to make our rules on the Darabonan level, but it's not going to affect the laws of Mominos and Raisa? Or did they say, no, whatever rule we make, we're going to change all the Doraisas in order to conform with that rule. So says Rambam, what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that whatever rule we make, since we made the rule that she's considered a Me'ureses, or Orasa, in the Lashon of the Chumash, now we're going to make that rule across the board. If she's considered Orasa, for what purpose did they make the rule? They made the rule she's considered Orasa, and now no one else should marry her. Now she's taken by that man, which was what they wanted to accomplish. But we're also going to make that rule even for the side effects such as pattering from Knas. Okay. This is a general discussion in the Achronim, whether Dereisus, Derabbanans changed Dereisus or not, in Dinim Abbas.
I mean, this is only because of Hefker Best and Hefted. It really doesn't address the bigger issue.
Yes, correct, yes. Now, what's the cash Derabban asked against himself? We had two cases in our Perek. One a few blot ago, and one a few lines from now, but we already learned it during Seder, where it discusses the issue of whether a Kalos Derabbanan would ponder someone from paying a knas. Perhaps this knas or a different knas would be Doraisa. What are those two cases? What are these two cases? Right? Because now he gets into a stira. Here's a stira. Is that true? Ha'im chalos midrabanan poter miknas midoraisa. So, says this Yesh Omrim, yes, in the case of Kiddushei Niyun. But, what do we find in other places in this parak?
Shnios.
Lamed Vav, we're talking about Shnios, right? Shnios L'Arayis, what does the Gemara say? Of course Shnios L'Arayis you have to pay. Because Midar Raisa, you're the Railo. So what's the Stira? The Stira, it's not my Stira, he has the Stira himself, is Daf Lamed Vav of an Aleph by Shnios, again, from the Pshat in the Gemara. Shnios, the Pshat in the Gemara, says no. Even though Shnios, I'm not allowed to marry, it doesn't pocket me from Knas. That's the Gemara says, why would Shnios be pocketed from Knas? Who cares that me Darbana, I can't marry them? We care about the Daraisa level. The Darbana level is not going to change whether I pay me Daraisa, right? It's talking about Shimon HaTaymani and Shimon Bemanasya, right? I only pay for people I can marry. So if Daraisa can marry, or I have to pay. Darabanan I can't. Why should Darabanan change to Daraisa? What other case do we have where a psul Darabanan did not take away a knas Daraisa? What? Right, and specifically what, Isser? The Isser Maisa Shabbos, right? I know Rav Chaim said something fancier, but the Pshat in the Gemara also, right? So that was Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph? Lamed Dalet Amin Aleph, thank you. Lamed Dalet Amin Aleph by Maisa Shabbos, again, the Pshat in the Gemara, also said no, right? Shmios, he is not Potter from Knas, and by Maisa Shabbos, he is not Potter from Dalet Behei. According to the Shita, we don't hold like that. Shchit Sheni, we use Lashon Shchita. If the Shchita was Treif Midaraisa, you'd be Potter from Dalet Behei. Here it's Kosher Midaraisa. It's only Treif Midarabana. Watch the Treif Midarabana, Potter from Dalet Behei. So in two places explicitly we see, just because she's Asher Midarabana, why should you get out of the Knas? The Torah requires you a Knas. Why should Isser Midarabana Potter you from a Knas? Just because this cow is Asher to eat Midarabana, Maisa Shabbos, why should that Potter you from Knas? In two places we see that, in the Pshat in the Gemara at least, that an Isser Midarabanan does not, that an Isser Midarabanan does not Potter you from Knas. So why all of a sudden over here she could use Darabanan and Potter you from Knas? That's what the Yesh Omrim is struggling with. Right? He's dealing with this issue. It seems to be, if you read Shas, the answer of Pshat of Shas is very clear. The answer is Darabanan, Halos Darabanan doesn't Potter you from Achid of Doraisa, even in Mamonos. Even though Hefker Bez and Hefker Chazal, who could have done whatever they want, they could have done whatever they want, but they didn't. When Chazal made a rule, they made a rule, that's their local rule. They didn't make a rule that then it should change who owes who money and everything else in the Torah. So, yes?
Each time they had a reason for doing it. These last two cases, it's a chote shouldn't be Yiskar. The first case, it's the other way because you want to make sure someone would marry her. You don't want to dissuade
her. Hold on, in this case, why not also chote shouldn't be Niskar?
Huh?
I don't know. I was Mekadosh an 11-year-old. And then someone came and was bold her. So the Yesh Omer says she's potter because of Erisin. Why should she be potter because of Erisin? We should teach this guy a lesson. And Rab, it'll be good for me. I'm more likely to punish an 11-year-old if I know that anyone else who messes with her is going to get punished. Right?
They're different, though. Because the last two cases are purely Rabbanan. No, I mean, it's just the case of Kiddushin Miyun, a hard man, she will have the status of an Arusha Doraita. In other words, it's just some technicality that got out of it now, but she will get to that status of Nisua and
okay.
These two guys on the bottom is never going to happen.
Interesting. That's not what, I don't think that's what the Yishomer says, but it's not a crazy Svara. What Joel's saying is, it depends. If it's the Rabbanan that's closer to Daraisa because it's going to become a Daraisa, then they were more consistent with it. They took it more seriously. If it's Rabbanan that's not leading to Daraisa, then they took it a little less seriously. Possible.
Well, it's also dependent on her das.
Let's maybe. Just, I need to make myself a corner. John, I'm sorry. I know
like
I can't use the board yet.
The Rabbanan don't have the co-op take away the something in Daraisa. So.
No, but that can't be true because we know they have Hefker and Hefker. So it's not they don't, it can't be that they don't have the koach.
Oh, I remember that. I think I heard from the Rev once many years ago, if I'm getting it straight, you'll be able to put it back together again. But I think he made a distinction between Truma Durabanum and Basar Bukhalov in the Rambam. Why the Rambam said that Basar Bukhalov, you can't be Mavatil. I mean, Basar Bukhalov, you can't be Mavatil, Yisrael Chatzila, and Truma, you can't. Truma Durabanum, and he said something like to the effect, the truma is only a technicality, but if you could get rid of the technicality, the chos would be a kuchem, it would be chos.
Yeah, okay, I think what you suggested is a significant step further than that. Because after all, Erisin of a katana, it's not just missing a technicality, it's fundamentally the no das of Erisin. It's just that it is the Rav is looking at from a conceptual perspective. How close is the Raisa? You were not looking conceptually. You are looking at it more practically. Is it likely leads to the Raisa? Both of which are possible perspectives, but it's not exactly the same. So what do we say? Basically, we say shot in the Gemara in Daf Lamed Vavam and Aleph and Daf Lamed Dalam and Aleph is that no, the Rabbanans don't affect the Raisa. Obviously, if the Rabbanan decide to make the Kanan Mamados to override the Raisa, like Prusbul or something, they can't. That's not what I meant. What I meant is if they happen to make a takana, it happens to have a side effect that would change the Doraisa, then it doesn't change the Doraisa. Their takana is limited to the takana. It doesn't extend and make side effects to change the Doraisa. This, what are the hints in the Gemara, the hints in the Gemara otherwise? Hints in the Gemara otherwise are, Mima'enes, Lefi v'yesh omrim, and we'll add some more hints. Mema'enes word v'yesh omrim, we seem to say that the Rabbanans do affect the Doraisa, right? So, one of the shitas that we have, you could have a shita.
Here are the
shitas. You could have a shita, which is the pshat shita. which is the pshat shita. That you could just no, they don't affect their, they don't affect, don't say like this Yesh Omrim. The Rabbanans don't affect our Raisa, that's the Pashup shot. Right? This Yesh Omrim says a compromise. The Yesh Omrim says it depends. What does it depend on? So here, the lush of the Yesh Omrim is not a gazillion percent clear. Yaakov, what do you think it depends on? What he's saying is, when it comes to Shnios and Shvit Shein Ruya, which he mentioned explicitly, Darabonans don't change the Doraisa. But when it comes to the Erisin, Darabonans do affect the Doraisa. What's the difference? So the difference was very, very unclear in his language. I'm still not sure if I can adequately understand it, much less convey. But he says here... says here, over there it's different. After all, even if it's not Lusil Isha Midrabanan, there are many people you don't marry and still get a knas. Or in the case you were Toveach, they were Toveach. If you were Toveach, then even though it's a Treif Drabanan, you should still have to pay the knas of Dalad Vehei. But over here, once they were Metakin for a marriage, then she's like an Arusa of the Torah. So it's not 100% clear exactly what he's saying, right? The only thing, I can't say I'm sure that I even understand exactly what he means. What he seems to be saying is that over there, in the case of Shnios, and in the case of Tzvichu Mechira, in the case of Shnios, he was Mefater or Ma'anes Anara Basula Shelo or Russell Usfasa Basar Shacham Ima. In the case of the animal, he's a Tzvacho Ol Mecharo. Just as a side, one has to be Ro'oi for something. Right? Ro'oi Lekayima or Ro'oi to Shita Ru'uya, Ro'oi to eat. So since he did the Maisa, he did the Maisa Mechayiv, the certain is a Mechayiv. Just, it's not like Roy for something else. Okay, over there, we'll say it's still Roy on the Daraisa level. That was more of a side point in the din, as opposed to here, where the whole point is the Nara Shelo Rasa part of Yosei Guili. She was a Nara Marasa. Nara Marasa is a different part of the Torah. It would seem that it's not like a side point that he didn't fulfill. It's that he didn't even do the mice in the first place. When it's more direct part of the din, then we will take into account the Rabbanan. When it's more of a side point, maybe we won't. I'm not sure if that's what he means. I don't know if anyone has a better idea. Gidon, you know, want to help me out here? No, that's not true. Rabbanan might use something to be vatal it.
Maybe you could explain it differently. The whole reason was that they wanted to make it more derisive is a second side effect. If someone is a ma'aneser and he doesn't get he gets a knas, then they'll say she's just a pnuya. She's a pnuya. I can go do what I want also.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it's meaning as opposed to shnios. If someone's ma'aneser shnios and pays a knas, they're not knas. Why aren't we the same thing people think when they marry shnios? Isn't just as dangerous? Ah, someone's ma'anis shnios, they pay a knas, so we see it's okay to marry shnios. You shouldn't be ma'anis them, but you can marry them. So maybe you can solve the same problem. So it's not 100% clear. Not clear.
But it's more here. She's a comma. People take advantage of her
more. So, you know what I mean? Meaning practically, they're more worried about people taking advantage. Maybe that's what he means. Over here, I mean, he doesn't say that. He just came to Kingler Abun Misuin, Ka'arusa Shel Torahi, V'ein Laknas. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what the Gedder is. My hunch is that, what he's saying is that, by Shnios, he did the full onus of Mefate. There's just a side issue of Ru'i L'Kaima. So that side issue, the Rabban is not going to change to the Raisa. By Tzvichu Mechira, he did a full Tzvichu Mechira, although there it's a little trickier. But I admit that I can't prove his kavanah, but he thinks he's explained it. He hasn't explained it very well, so maybe we'll leave this a little bit as a tzarich ion, and then we'll come back to it when we read the next line of the Gemara, and see if other people have other theories, which, at the very least what we can get out of the Yisei Shomrim is, even if we don't understand exactly where he's drawing the line, right? We don't understand. Where he draws the line is unclear. Even if we don't understand where he's drawing the line, nonetheless, we see that there's a tension here. And that even though the Gemara sounds one way, it's not so pashut, and we might have to draw the line someplace, and we'll carry that over to the next line in the Gemara. Maybe what he really means is that there's a difference between Isser and Kinyan. When it comes to Shnios and Maisa Shabbos, that's Isser. Isser Drabbana is not going to affect the Daraisa. When it comes to the Arusa, it's not the Isser of Arusa that makes a difference. It's the Kinyan of Arusa that makes a difference. And therefore, when the Rabbana Kinyan, maybe not a Mamnas Kinyan, but maybe Kinyan and Darabon are closer to the Mamanus Daraisa than Isurin. It's hard to tell. Okay, we'll leave that for Tzarech Ion and move on to the next line in the Gemara. Says the next line in the Gemara. Ready? Bottom of Laman Heyon base. My Arayas or my Shneos Larayas. Ely, my Arayas, Arayas, Mama Shneos, me Dibre Sofrim. If, right? Then you take a Kipshuto. Then Kaven to me where Sechazulai, my Lim Knas. That's exactly the line that we just quoted, right? Laman Vom Nal. Of course an Issa Drabbanan doesn't make a Ptur Knas. Only Issa Raisa makes a Ptur Knas. An Issa Drabbanan can't make a Ptur Knas. So then they answer, Ella Arayis Chayim Misas Ben Shnei Chayim Krisim Chayim Lavi Yishlo Nafs Mani Shem Nafs Mani Yigadami Arayis Chayim Misas Ben Chayim Krisos Shnei Chayim Lavi Mani Shem Nafs. Yeah, I think we read this already. Okay, it's the question that's the important line. This seems to be the big. This and the Maisa Shabbos are the two biggest proofs in Shas that the Rabbanim don't affect the Doraisa in Dinei Mamonos. This gets questioned on two fronts. First, you know, a moderate attack, and then with a armored bulldozer. First comes Rashi. The Sheet in the Metz is a question from Rashi. Mema'enes l'fi the Yesh Omrim. It's one Yesh Omrim. You know what? There are three pshat Mema'enes. This is the minority pshat. We don't have to lose sleep over it, and even if we don't understand what he's saying exactly, I don't mean we have something fancy wrong with what he's saying, you just don't understand exactly what he meant. But Seder, okay, not the end of the world. Lamed Halid Beis. However, what does the Shidduch Metzes point out is a more, not necessarily majority, but mainstream Shita, where Rabbanan does affect Oraisa even in this exact Knas. Ask the Shidduch Metzes. Nesina, right? Remember Rashi and Tosos? Tosos said Nesina is an Oraisa versus Chatinbom. And Rashi says Bezin Shel David Gazru, or some similar Lashon. What was Rashi's Lashon? Rashi's Lashon was, did David gozer aleihem? Okay, well the Mishnah says that Nesina gets a knas, so that's not a problem. What's the kasha from what Daphna from the Mishnah Chav Tes Amud Aleph? But from the Gemara on Chav Tes Amud Beis, what did the Gemara say in Chav Tes Amud Beis? It says, "What's the nafgamina between Rosh Hashanah Menashe and Shimon HaTimani? My benayu, marvzer, marvzer is nesina ike benayu. Lamando yesh ravaya, hanami yesh ravaya. Lamando ruui lakaima, im ruui lakaima. Which one is ruui lakaima? That is Rosh Hashanah Menashe. The Gemara says mafurish on chav tesam and beis. What does it say? It says nesina ein lak nas lefi Reb Shimon ben Menashe because ein ruui lakaima." But Rashi says Nesina is Darabanan. Right? Who else said Nesina is Darabanan besides Rashi? If I recall correctly, I think only the Rambam. Okay, the Meir made it complicated, right? But, according to Rashi and the Rambam, Hasovrim, that Nesina is Asura Midrabanan. So he says, hold on a second. Shnias are Asura Midrabanan, but they still have a Knas. Nesina is Asura Midrabanan, doesn't have a Knas. All according to Rishon Menashe. Right, I'm not talking according to us. According to the Chacham, even Achoso has a Knas. We don't care if she's Asura Midrabanan. I'm talking obviously according to Rishon Menashe. Right, that Arai is going to have a Knas. What do you say? Arai is doing a Knas, that's fine. You can't marry them. But Shnias you can marry. But hold on, then why does Nesina not have a Knas? That's the kasha of the Shimon Gebetzes. How did the Shimon Gebetzes answer this kasha?
Explain what David did. David didn't make the Zayr, he made the Musr. And Shneos is the
Zayr. Exactly. This is reminiscent of what you just quoted from the Rav. Says the Shimon Gebetzes.
I heard it from the system.
Okay, Bedas Rashi. He says, it depends what kind of Issur D'Rabbanan. There are different levels of Issur D'Rabbanan. There's Issur D'Rabbanan that is just a new Issur D'Rabbanan, and there's Issur D'Rabbanan that is, there's Issur D'Rabbanan that they fundamentally usher, and there's Issur D'Rabbanan that they just made a gzeira against. I'll read you the Lashon of the Shittim Gubetzes, the very lundish, brisker Shittim Gubetzes, says the Shittim Gubetzes, he says, he makes a diyuk in Rashi. Okay, could like his diyuk. You could not be impressed with his diyuk. The kachas of Rashi. Shniyos shegozru chacham al shniyos lenaharchik min avira kigon etc. Perish lufi d'shanya shniyos min asina d'asina David gozru lim shol yivol v'kahal kemav zera nishar psulim. There he fundamentally passed them. The hell come yikal vakmen ruri lo v'kahal shniyos laasru chacham el laharchik min avira. That Shneos, that Nesina, he fundamentally passed them. Shneos, they just want you to be remarchic from Avera. I can theoretically have had an opposite perspective on the relationship between Shneos and Nesina. For all, Shneos is an extension of Arayos, and Nesina is made up. But that's what he says. He says it depends on whether the Isser Drabanan is a fundamental Isser or just a Gzeira. If it's just a Gzeira, okay, there it goes, there are Shnios to keep you far away from Averos. The Shnios, they didn't turn the Shnios into a Chefz of not Rawi. They just told you not to do it. Okay, so meaning they made their local Gzeira on the Shnios. They made their local Gzeira on the Shnios. And and that's it. Don't marry the Shnios. They didn't say we're going to change your status for everything in the Torah and change the Rises. But Nesinim, that's not just a Gzeira. What's the Gzeira of Nesinim? It's that they fundamentally want them out of Klal Yisrael. They want them to be a Chetzer Shal Isser. Therefore, they made the Nesinim Usher for all intents and the Nesinim Usher for all intents and purposes, even to use Hefker Bez and Hefker to pot you from a Knas Midor Raisa.
There's a little bit more than that. He'll say that the Nesinim were, as in the Gzeira and Nesinim were based on the Elf and the Torah, they were based on Mamzeros.
Right.
That's a little bit different. That's a little bit
correct. I mean, I did want to emphasize that because, after all, aren't Shneos based on Arias?
He said they're not. He said they're based on his Tamahara.
Correct. Correct. Meaning, but I think what he's trying to say is it's not that Nesinim are similar to Mamzer and Shneos aren't similar to anything. It's that Nesinim, they want them to be fundamentally Usher like Mamzer. Just like they're fundamentally Usher, Nesinim are fundamentally Usher. It's not because you might end up marrying a Mamzer. It's because they thought they were just as bad. Supposed to Shneos, they didn't think Shneos was really anything wrong with Shneos. They just wanted you not to get confused and not end up marrying.
And therefore, that's how they decided how to make the Tekana. Would they make the Tekana
exactly
bigger Doraisa?
Exactly, meaning they can make the Tekana two ways. They can make a local Tekana, just don't do it, or they can say we're changing the whole system. In some cases, they changed the whole system. They fundamentally wanted a apostle to see them.
If they get a reason to the Torah, so the reason that's something that the Torah already has, something like that. If the reason is not in the Torah, then it'll be a new thing. Would you say something like that? And then the reason for the Sino was the same exact reason of the Zir. Therefore, they made the Zir like from Zir. The reason for Shneos was not a reason to find the Torah, so therefore,
I think that's what I was saying, meaning Nesinim, they thought they were just as bad as Mamzerim. So to Arius, they just didn't want you to get confused, but they really had nothing against Shneos. They had nothing against Shneos. Okay, that's what he's trying to say. Okay, so he says there's different levels of Takana Drabbanan. There's Takana Drabbanan, they want the Etzem to make it Osir. There's Takana Drabbanan, they just didn't want you to get confused with something else. They had nothing against it. They didn't want you to confuse it with something else. So when they thought something was fundamentally Osir, they made it Osir down the line. When they just didn't want you to get confused, they said, don't do it. But we're not going to make this usher down the line. You know, you could, if you want to do, come on to categories like Hefza and Gavra, right? In the scene, and they mamash said something again for the scene, and they need a Hefza of Psule Kahal. What's a Psule Kahal? Midrabanan. So you take it down the line. As opposed to Araya, Shneos, they didn't make Shneos a Hefza Visuri Bia. They just told you to avoid confusion, don't do something which could lead to confusion. Okay, you could take that perspective, and it depends what level of Isser Drabbanan. If we recall, okay, that's Rashi. Now, is it
Mocher? Rashi also say the Shibu is for Avdus, via the Tekan is for Avdus by the Shibu, right?
Well, Rashi's not clear whether the Gzera Davis is Mitzad Avdus or not, right? Tosos makes
sense. Even if we hold, Rashi's not saying that on Rabbi Nechum Nesim, that Tanahi, he's saying it on the previous Amud, so maybe we would have a different Svara.
Okay, good point. That excellent point. Is it Mocher that Rashi has to hold like Rashi Ben Gobetzes? So what Yishai just pointed out is it's not so pasha, because on Chav Tesmet Beis Rashi doesn't tell us terribly much, if I recall it correctly. He says, I don't think he says anything on those ever since Sina.
At least on that when they're discussing the
right. So what do you think? Does Rashi have to hold like the Shimon Ben says? That, Drabbanan's effect on Raisa sometimes, but not other times. Depending on how fundamental this is to Drabbanan is.
So, like, Tosos has, like, a...
Correct, meaning, Right? Rashi could just agree with Pshat and Shas that Darbanas never affect our Raisa. Oh, what does he do with Chavtesim and Beis? He could say, and we could answer Daf Chavtesim and Beis that Agav Mamzeres Nokte, right? The Gemara didn't really mean the Sina. It just said the Sina Agav Mamzeres, after all, right? Isn't that what you have to answer if the Sina is only Darbanan and how do you answer half and Shas? So, meaning, what I mean to say is, what Yishai meant to say is, we're bringing this whole problem of Rashi from Daf Chavtesim and Beis and Sina. Mela Rashi already has problems that in half of Shas the Sina looks like it's an Issa D'Oraisa. So whatever you answer for the other half of Shas, like Elohim Elokin, you can answer for this also, right? So if you say, in many places just mentioned Agam Mamzeres Lav Davka, so in Daf Chavtesim and Beis, he didn't mean it's Paterum Knas. He just meant Lav Davka Agam Mamzeres. Or, if you remember, some of the Achronim wanted to say that Rashi really holds the Sina is some cases D'Oraisa, some cases D'Rabbanan. Maybe in Daf Chavtesim and Beis, it meant the D'Oraisa cases, right? Not so crazy, right? Or you could say, like, the Pnei Yehoshua, or the Hafla'a. If you remember, what did they say? They say, Rashi on Chavtesim and Aleph said, the Sina is D'Rabbanan. That meant, says the Hafla'a, if I'm not mixing them up, yeah. That meant the second generation is Darabanan. But in Chavtesim and Beis, you might have meant the first generation, which is D'Oraisa. Or you could say, Adach Chavtesim and Aleph, he meant, if they, why they don't go back and be Mekabal them again, that's Darabanan. But in Adach Chavtesim and Beis, he means if they don't want to be Mekabal them again, that's D'Oraisa. So really, the Shimon Gubetzes, his whole question is not such a strong question. And again, let me review why this question is not such a strong question. It's all based on the assumption that Nisina and Chavtesim and Beis is a real proof that a Darabanan affects the D'Oraisa. But it's not such a good question because Rashi already has to answer why in Makos it says you get Malkus for Nisina if it's Darabanan. And if the answer is there, it's Lav Davka, which is Agav Mamzeres. Here also it's Lav Davka, Agav Mamzeres. And if the answer is that there, it's the other kind of Nisina, which is D'Oraisa. Then in Daf Chavtesim and Beis, also the other kind of Sina is D'Oraisa. So really, the Shiva Yuletzes could be right, but he has no proof in Rashi, because Mela Rashi has to, in Makos, say either there's two kinds of Nesinos, or sometimes it's Davka, sometimes it's Lav Davka. So Mela, whatever he says to answer Makos, and other places in Shas, can answer here also, and the Shiva Yuletzes is not Mochach. Okay, it's a nice idea, but it's not Mochach. Now, let's get to the most interesting of the Rishonim here, who is the Rambam. The Rambam is fascinating here because, what does the Rambam say? Pshat in the Rambam, at least. The Rambam is fascinating for two reasons, if you read Pshat in the Rambam. Right? Says the Rambam... In Perek Aleph Halacha Hey, where is it? Haisa Anusa Zu Asura Alav Afilu Mechay Be'Aseh. If she's Asur, even just with an Aseh, Vafilu Shnia, even just Shnius La Rayos, Hareza Lo Yisaena, he shouldn't marry her. V'chein Enetzabat Dvar Zima Acher Shekana Sar Zigashena. And likewise, even though he's chayv to marry her, but if she's Asur, then he doesn't marry her. And even though he's not allowed to divorce her, but if he finds adultery after he marries her, then he has to divorce her. Shenemar b'losia le'isha, isha ru'yelo. Because the pasuk, losia le'isha, isha ru'yelo. He only has to marry her if she's fitting for him, not if she's not fitting for him. Now, let's read the Rambam. The Rambam discussed three cases. Chai v'yasei, or even chai v'yasei, shnios, and dvar zima. Forget the dvar zima, forget the chai v'yasei. One of the cases discussed is shnios. What did the Rambam just say? If a guy's anisha refata shnios la rayos, he doesn't marry her. Why not? By the way, everyone agrees to that halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, a guy finds an arab basula who's shnios la rayos to him, and is ma'anisher, he doesn't marry her. But why? So says the Rambam, because it says, well, see the isha, which is only isha ru'yelo and excludes isha she'ena ru'yelo. Just to be fair, he's not passing like Rishimon Ben Menasi. Rishimon Ben Menasi says Isha Ruhi Yalo, but if she's not Ruhi, you don't marry her or pay Knas. The Rambam Darshan is different. He says, Isha Shiru Yalo, if she's not Ruhi Yalo, you pay Knas, but you don't marry her. But, what's interesting about the Rambam here, says the Rambam, Shnios are excluded because of Isha Ruhi Yalo. So, says the Rambam.
Every other place that he gave us. Every other place in the string, he kind of snuck. He swore to Rabbanan in. And here we got a whole.
Correct. What does he say? He says, Shnios Nismatu mi mitzvas Los Yala Isha. Al pidrashas isha hara uyalo. So what is he saying here? He's saying two interesting things. Number one, that the rabbanim's affected the raisa. Shot in the Rambam, right? Shot in the Rambam, the rabbanim's affected the raisa, right? Even though she only asked the rabbanon, mida o raisa, she's putter from the he's putter from the pasuk. Let me say it better. Let me say it better. He says the Rambam Aleph Hey, he says Ma'anes es Hashnia is Potter and Usser mi mitzvas velo siya leisha. He's Potter from mitzvah velo siya leisha, right? Why is he Potter from the mitzvah lo siya leisha? The pshat of the Rambam is al pi drasha sapasuk, right? Al pi drasha sapasuk, because he's not ruyalo, right? She'ena ruyalo. What's chiddush of the Rambam? A drabanan affect doraisa. The drabanan affects the doraisa of nisuin. He's chayav to have a mitzvah to marry her. And the drabanan changed the doraisa. But what's the big chiddush here? Big issue here is that the Rambam seems to say there are abundant effects of Raisa, which is not explicit in anyone until now. Through what power does the Rabbanan affect the Raisa here? Through Hefker, Bez, and Hefker? No! Me Raisa! I mean, not through Hefker, Bez, and Hefker the Rabbanan changed the Din Raisa. Within the Torah the Rabbanan affected the Din Raisa. That's a big finish. That even without Hefker, Bez, and Hefker the Rabbanan, the Din Rabbanan changed the Din Raisa. Why? Because the Din Drabbanan has a Doraisa status, Memela, even without Hefker, Bez, and Hefker. That's the tremendous finish of this Rambam. Who interprets the Rambam Kipshuta? Which two people? People. More than just regular people. Which two Mepharshim? Even more than just regular Mepharshim. Interpret the Rambam Kipshuta here? Who interprets the Rambam Kipshuta? Kesav Mishnah. And who defends him? The Mishlo Melech. By the way, this is a great Mishlo Melech. I don't know, even the half that I said was the Iker in the parentheses itself. Like, you know, you don't need to hire Rosh Yeshiva anymore if you have Mishlo Melech like this. It's just like a whole Gishmak Shir laid out for you. If you had done the other half, you'd have two Shir. But which we already were around, Mr. Mishaito. So yeah, this is...
In Gittin, where it talks about, you know, the one's Rashi, it says, uses the lesson Hefka based in Hefka. And also, Rashi says that when Rabbanim Yitzchak made it like a derisa. Does that fit in here? I'm just remembering. I mean, because does that seem to... He seems to be saying something like that. They make it like derisa, although he is referring to the prophet.
Okay. So, hold that thought for a second. I'll come back to it. So,
can I... Yeah. This...
Yeah, we have that here. Let's just ask ourselves another question.
When the Yeshomer say the man is saying like Knas, isn't that also excluding her from marrying him?
Well, according to Rashi, this is irrelevant, just about Cheskes Be'ula. But according to Tosos and the Yesh Omer in the Ramban. Well, the Yesh Omer in the Ramban. Yes, but hold that thought for a minute, okay? That's the Maharash. So why should all the Kolos Rabbanim affect the Din D'Oraisa, or not just affect, but, you know, a pater you, right? Overrule, right? A Din D'Oraisa. So, says the Yesh Omer in the Ramban, because of Hefker Bezin Hefker. Okay, in Mamados, Hefker Bezin Hefker. Then it's a question of how far to take Hefker Bezin Hefker. The,
what did I put that? I skipped a part. Alright, we'll have to come back to it out of order.
However, Shana in the Rambam. Is why does a why does a din d'rabbanan change the din midoraisa according to Pshat in the Rambam? What? Yes, because and iser d'rabbanan becomes aser midoraisa. Right, this is basically what the guest Mishnah is saying. Why? Since all drabbanans have their root in the Torah, shmarti shmarti shneos. And not just shneos. Lo sasser, all din of drabbanan are bechlal lo sasser. Since the din drabbanan is the root of the din drabbanans in the Torah, therefore din drabbanan, you don't need hefker bezin hefker. Meaning for shneos, they didn't have to say, well, let's think. Should we say hefker bezin hefker to make them possible across the board, even for nafkaminas and patrim from d'oraisa? No, even without hefker bezin hefker. How do we know? Because it's already in the drush of the pasuk. When the pasuk says this halacha only applies to isha ra'uyelo, it meant it only applies to regular girls and not shneos. Why? Not because of hefker bezin hefker. Because shneos are not ru'uyim d'oraisa. When God gave the chumash, they were ru'uya. Yes, but then when Shlomo Melch made the kind of shneos, or whoever made the kind of shneos, they became not ru'uya, not ru'uyim d'oraisa. And then this is clearly the shitase of the famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban about why, the authority of the Darabonans come from, right? The Rambam says, most famously in the beginning of the Sefer HaMitzvos, in the first Shoresh, and also, I may put here, just in Bekitzer, in the beginning of Halchus Mamrim, he says, any takana the Chachamim make, we are obligated by Lusasser to follow it. It's a din de oraisa to follow all the takanas of Darabonan. That's the Rambam. The Ramban disagrees with him and says, no, that's not what the Torah means at all. So this is Lishitase, the Rambam, the Umat Ramban, Kesover, Shekol, Iser, Drabanan, is Aser, Mida, Oraisa. Because of Los Aser. Okay, if every Iser, Drabanan is Aser, Mida, Oraisa, then you don't need to talk about Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. But the just to answer to answer Yeshaya's question from earlier, I'm not necessarily talking here about the question of let's restrict what we're talking about here. I'm not dealing with whether a banan can matter something that's also doraisa, which the sugya in the end of Yevamos. I'm not dealing with whether the Chachamim can take away mamon that you deserve, midoraisa, which is sugya hefker bezin hefker. I'm talking here more specifically. If somebody's aser midrabanan, how does that change the doraisa dinim or not? If the rabbanan, clearly the rabbanan have the right and the power to aser things. They mean zeros. When the rabbanan aser things, does that stay aser, but the rest of the Torah stays the same? Or when that becomes aser, it changes the rest of the Torah with it? That was our question, right? These are all cases where the rabbanan aser things. Shnia, Nesina, Maisa Shabbos. does that have side effects and change the din of Daraisa also? So the Yesh Omer says, well, through Hefker, Bez, and Hefker, they can implement the side effects. Or they cannot, they can just implement a local Isser. And sometimes they did one way, sometimes the other way, and we're not sure exactly what he meant. The Shidu gets in Rashi is not clear. Mitzad what he's coming. Right? When the Shidu gets us, it's not clear if he doesn't say explicitly, is it Mitzad Hefker, Bez, and Hefker, or is it Mitzad, the Rambam's approach, we're not sure. And the Rambam says, and these are the two basic approach, the Rambam says no. At least if you read Shad in the Rambam. No, fundamentally, whatever's Asa Darabanan becomes Asa Daraisa. Not like we were trained to think from Shana Aleph that there's a Daraisa planet and a Darabanan planet, and each one has its own integrity, its own rules, and shouldn't affect the other one. That's the non-Rambam approach. Unless they make Hefker, Bez, and Hefker. No, the Rambam approach is that no. That Daraisa, Darabanan, all the same thing. Agav, by the way, the Rambam Lishitase, I don't want to get into this now because it's not really our sugya, but what does the Rambam call some Daraisas? That Divrei Sofer. The Rambam's very confusing. Sometimes he calls Daraisas Darabanan. Things that are Daraisa, he calls Divrei Sofer. I'm not going to explain exactly why now, but I'm going to say it's clearly Lishitase. If he really held that Darabanans were a different planet than Daraisa, he would never have confused us. He would never have had the chutzpah to say, ah, that Daraisa, it's only Divrei Sofer. No, meaning anything that's a drasha Daraisa, he calls Divrei Sofer. Why, is he a Karaite? You know, he thinks anything that's a drasha Daraisa is not really from the Torah? No, he thinks Darabanans aren't from the Torah anyway, so therefore, it's not a problem to call Daraisas Divrei Sofer, because Divrei Sofer are kind of Daraisa anyway. So he's not saying something. If people think the Rambam is so radical, Chazal Darshan Apostle, he says, that's not from the Torah, it's Divrei Sofer. So what, he thinks it's not a realistic Daraisa? The answer is no. He thinks Divrei Sofer is also an Issa Daraisa. So therefore, when the Soferim, wrote it down, he called it Divrei Sofer and it was Daraisa. When the Chumash wrote it down, he called it Divrei Torah and it was Daraisa. But since it's all Daraisa anyway, so he's not making philosophical problems by calling Daraisas Darabanans, because Darabanans are Daraisas, they're all equal authority. He just happens to like a phrase of, you know, who's the first one to put it in writing. He calls it Divrei Sofer. No. Okay, this is not our topic now.
Would he go so far as saying that something derives from Chumash?
Ah, no, but that's the Ramban's question against him. That's exactly this, the very Leibedik Ramban in the first Shor Shefer Mitzvahs asks on the Ramban, according to you, Sofer Rabbanan should be L'Chumra, which is the Sofer Daraisa. And then all the Achronim figure out how to answer for the Ramban. So the Ramban will have to come up with an answer. But, so, you're not right in terms of the halachal maisa, but you're right conceptually. The Rambam should say that until we come up with this answer or that answer, which is what's dealt with by all the long makoros that were in brackets as makoros sheet. Now,
can we be less radical here and say that it's a very local din, specific to here where it says ru'uyalo? And it's not, you know, not because it's a formal Easter, it's not right to do something Rabbanon told you not to do.
So what you're suggesting is there might be different Re'uyos and other things. When it comes to Re'uyos, if it's not rhyming Rabbanon, it's not wrong.
You are the one, because of your big list. This is the only way, place where the Rambam brings the pasuk. He doesn't bring the pasuk by Fulman Shanish to Bazor.
Okay.
And it's very local.
Okay, I think you absolutely can, meaning if you want to, you can. I was making the Rambam a bigger deal. You could restrict the Rambam to cases of Re'uyos. Okay, let's hold that thought for a second. Let's just first see what the Mishnah Melech brings down. The Mishnah Melech brings down that the Moharash Sason, argues on him and says the Rambam can't mean it. Why can't the Rambam mean it according to the Moharash? Because it's against our Gemara, Daflam Vavam Aleph. Our Gemara says Shnios are considered Roi Midoraisa. Our Gemara says, what does our Gemara say? It's the exact same case as Shnios. Our Gemara says Shnios are included in the Pasuk. Shnios are Lo Si Elisha. Our Gemara says there is Lo Si Elisha by Shnios. And that's why they reinterpret Shnios to mean Chayve Krisis or Chayve Lavin. So how could the Rambam say Shnios are considered Einim Ruyah in the Pasuk? Our Gemara says they're considered Ruyah in the Pasuk. Therefore, says, what's the problem? Question is, it's against Daf Lamed Vav. The Gemara Daf Lamed Vav and Aleph. This is exactly the Raya. How do we start the whole bowl of ruling the Shidun Betzes? On Daf Lamed Vav and Aleph, and we're establishing the principle that Drabanans don't affect the Daraisa. And the Rambam takes the exact same case and establishes the principle that Drabanans do affect the Daraisa. So it's a flat out seer of the Gemara. So says Mar Rasasom, he says, I can't justify the Kesem Mishnah, the Kesem Mishnah is crazy. Really, what's shot in the Rambam, says the Mar Rasasom? Says the right? What is Seif shot in the Rambam? He says, the Rambam's lav dafka. You think the Rambam meant the Chayvei Yaseh and the Shnios are excluded from the possible Osiyah Le'isha because not Ru'iyah Lo? That's not what the Rambam meant. What did the Rambam mean? He meant Chayvei Yaseh are excluded from the Pasuk. Okay, so why are Shnios excluded? Why are Shnios excluded? Shnios are excluded because once Chayvei Yaseh were excluded from the Pasuk, the Rabbanan made a Takana that Shnios are also excluded. Ah, how can the Rabbanan make a Takana against the Pasuk? After all, it's not an issue of Hefker Biz and Hefker here, because it's not Mamonos. How can everybody defend against the Pasuk? But, Yesh Kof Yacham, Lassadur and Torah, Lakadur and Torah, Shevi Al Taseh. Right? The Rabbanan are always allowed to go against the Pasuk if they tell you not to do something. Right? When Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, the Rabbanan tell us not to blow shofar. And they're allowed to. When Sukkot is in Shabbos, the Rabbanan tell us not to shake a lulav. And they are allowed to. When we don't write Sa'am Chayiv to marry this girl, the Rabbanan tell me not to marry her. And they're allowed to, because the Rabbanan are allowed to passively go against the Torah. So here is the, he says, Gzeira de Rabbanan, Lakor HaMitzvah, Bishav the Altase. Here are the two ways of reading this Gemara. What are the two ways of reading this Rambam? Right? Two, Shatim, in the Rambam. One is the Kesef Mishnah and the Mishnah Melech. They say, Mi de Oraisa Ein Mitzvah Lases Anusa Shnia. She's excluding Mi de Oraisa. Why? Because Drabbanans count in the Torah. An Issa de Rabbanan counts as an Issa de Oraisa, and therefore, once she's an Issa de Oraisa, the Pasuk says, we'll see Elisha and excludes her. Right? Mishum She'asura Mida Oraisa, says the Marasason. He says no, Mida Oraisa Chayav Lisa Ena. Mida Oraisa, you have to marry her. And then it's like shofar on Shabbos. Mida Oraisa, you have to marry her. Of course the Rabbanan doesn't change the Doraisa. But they made a takana here, but it's only usher midar abanan midar oraisa yuchayim lisa ena aval midar abanan usher. It's only usher abanan midar oraisa. It's a chiyuv. Only midar abanan. It's usher. Hold on. If it's usher midar abanan, why does that beat the chiyuv de oraisa? Because the shofar on Shabbos is Asr Yerban and Chayim Doraisa. And we listen to the Chamashevi Al-Tasa. And Lulav on Shabbos is Asr Yerban and Chayim Doraisa. So that's the machlokis. Is he Pater Midoraisa or Pater Midorbanan? Kes Mishnah, Mishnah Mel say he's Pater Midoraisa. Pshat in the Rambam. This is Pshat. And this is a Gemara Mefureshes. Right? Pshat in the Rambam is that there's a Pter Doraisa. Because the Rabbanans count Midoraisa. However, the Mara Sasson says, no, it can't be. It's a Mefurish Gemara. Right here. That Shnios, there's a full Chiyuv Onus Mefata Midoraisa. And therefore, the Rama must be Lav Dav. You must have meant the Asay and the Dvarzima are because of Osiel Isha. And the Shnios is because of Exera.
But
there's
also a
Los Asay, you don't mean what you mean is there's also an active Isser to divorce her. So what he would say is that ain't a chanami. This would be the nafkamina, by the way. Oh, now we have a nafkamina. What if b'dieved you already married the shnia? What if the ma'anis already married the shnia? Should he divorce her? So I think according to the Kesem Mishnah Meshul Melech, if he married her, he should divorce her. Why? She's excluded from the pasuk. According to the Mara Sasson, if he married her already, he can't divorce her. So the Chachamim can't uproot something in the Torah become ba'aseh. So you're right. I think that would be nafmina. I don't think the Mishnah Bible says that explicitly.
Remember that that even ties to the thing of marrying her. The los aseh is tied back to even the chiyuv essay of marrying her.
Well, in Makos it has it as lav hanita glase, but I'm not sure that would affect our discussion. But let's just this isn't what you meant to point out necessarily, but there could be a nafkamina. Nafkamina could be avar v'nasa. According to Gesa Mishnah, he would be chayav legarsha. Why? Because it's not losia leisha. Lo yuchal shalcha only applies to an isha ruyelo. This is an isha shein ruyelo. But according to the Marasasong, it should be Usr Ligarsha. Because that would be the Chachamim can't uproot something from the Torah actively, right? So what would you have to do? You'd have to not divorce her and not live with her, I guess.
Maybe how that you could.
What?
Maybe how that goes with
you. Okay, but let's not assume that until prove it otherwise. Okay, you could complicate matters.
What? Chayav Malkus? The
This is parallel to the last thing you said. Obviously there's no chi of Malkos, but the Rambam asked that question on himself. He says, oh, if every drabana is really also daraisa because of Lo Sasser, which is a lav, why is there no chi of Malkos? So he says, I have no chi of Malkos for a technical reason. Because since all drabanas are also daraisa because of Lo Sasser, and Lo Sasser is a lav, Hanita and Lazarus Mises Bezdin, because the Zaki Mamre gets Mises Bezdin, there's a rule, whenever the Lav has Mises Bezdin, there's no Malkus. So the Rambam himself has that Havamina, so you should get Malkus. This, you would almost get Malkus, but for a technical reason you don't, because it all stems from a Lav which has Mises Bezdin. Meaning, Lu Yitzhak the Zaki Mamre wasn't killed, then I guess you would get Malkus.
Do you answer Marcus' question, the Gemara was saying that you don't have any knaps. But the Rambam was talking about Isser, about and you say that when they're brought made of Takana, they made it about Isser. That's a much more direct aspect of the Takana, therefore it would be included in Deraisa. But the applications of Mammon aren't as readily.
That's hard because either it should be in the Pasuk, meaning the Pasuk distinguishing Ru'i L'Kaima and Ru'i L'Kaima. L'Chorsh, either has to be called Ru'i L'Kaima or Ain't Ru'i L'Kaima.
There's none of Ru'i L'Kaima.
So she's Ain't Ru'i L'Kaima. She's Ain't Ru'i L'Kaima, then what's the problem with the Gemara? Rosh Hashanah and Nasha says whoever's Ain't Ru'i L'Kaima doesn't get a class.
Okay, there's two aspects of Ru'i L'Kaima. One is Ru'i L'Kaima that's in Knas, and the aspect that's actually marrying her.
No, but the whole Ain't Ru'i L'Kaima comes from the Ain't Ru'i L'Kaima marrying her.
But we could go hold on that, because we give Knas to girls who are Ru'i L'Kaima.
But it doesn't matter. According to Rosh Hashanah and Nasha, it's the same getter. Because he learned one from the other. You can't say there's two Kedarim according to Rosh Hashanah and Nasha, because there's only one possible, and he just applies it to both apps. Okay, the Kasha, of course, the technical Kasha for the, why did the Morasasa want to deny that the Rambam said what he sounds like he might have said? Because, it's against our Gemara. So the Mishnah Melech answers our Gemara, Bedochak, for the Rambam. So what does the Mishnah Melech answer? How do you get out of our Gemara? Doesn't our Gemara say, I'll read our Gemara again. Our Gemara says, Shnias be very sofer, came to rice a chajle. Simply to rice, they're perfectly fine. Ma'ilam knas, they should have a knas. Meaning, since me to rice, they're fine. Why should they have any ptor? What do you mean? The Rambam just says, me to rice, they're not fine. Me to rice, they're usser. And that's why they do have a ptor. So, how do you get out of our Gemara? So, the Mishnah Melech is out of a little bit dochak. What does he say?
Looks like Shimon.
Exactly. He has to say, Mishnah Melech says that the beginning of our sugya is Aliba de Shimon Hataymani. What does that mean? According to Shimon Hataymani, we don't actually care about Ru'i L'Kaima. What do we care about? According to Shimon Hataymani? Yesh Bahavaya, where there's Tfisas Kedushin. And that's what our Gemara meant. Our Gemara didn't mean what it sounded like. Well, sort of chazile. Since midoraisa, it's ru'uya, it's called ru'uya. No, our Gemara meant, since it's not a midoraisa, it's called yesh b'havaya, there's tfisas kedushin. And then he, again, it's a dochid pshat in our Gemara to defend the Rambam. Meaning, basically, your two choices are pshat in the Rambam, dochid pshat in the Gemara, or pshat in the Gemara and reinterpret the Rambam. That's the choice that everyone made, and then everyone made choices based on what's more mistaken to them, philosophically. says the Mishnah Melech, how do you read our Gemara? Ilim Arayis, Arayis Mamish. If Arayis means Arayis Mamish, then it sounds like Shimon Ten Money, says Pen's Tfisas Kedushin. But how could Shnius be Divrei Sofer? Since it's not an Issur Arayis, it's Tfisas Kedushin. And the answer is, you're right, Arayis or Chayvi says Bezun, Shnius or Chayvi Krisos, but anything with Tfisas Kedushin gets a Knas like Shimon Ten Money. Okay, this part of the Gemara is all Shimon Ten Money. Oh, what about the next part? The next part says, Ikadami, Arayis, Chayvi Mises Bezdin. The chayv increases. Arayis means chayv mises bezin, chayv increases. And shnios means chayv lavin. And what they meant by this was shnios ben chayv lavin and chayv yasei and shnios. And mani mishumim benasya. So according to mishumim benasya, shnios can mean shnios. It just means shnios as well as chayv lavin. And according to shemet hamani, then of course shnios can mean shnios because there's tfisas kedushin. So that's the sort of dochuk pshat of the Mishnah Melech. He says in our Gemara, don't read our Gemara saying the Shnius are Uyelo and are Chayav Knas, according to Rishon Menasya. No, Shnius are Potter from Knas, according to Rishon Menasya. Why do they more assume they're Chayav Knas? That was Shimon HaTimani. And why do they more later in Shimon Menasya say Chayav meet the Malkas? It means Chayav Malkas and Shnius. So that's the, that's the Mishnah Melech's answer to our Gemara, that the Gemara never meant to say Shnios are Ru'uya L'kaima. It just meant to say Shnios are Yesh V'Havaya. Okay. Yeah.
It's also the Nachmanya we said earlier between the Ritva and Yeshua, that whether it's a Yeshua Gemara or a Svara.
Ah, okay. That is a good point. Since I'm within the Rambam, and the Rambam clearly sounds like a Drasha Gemura, I'm assuming it's a Drasha Gemura for now. When we get to the Mishnah later on in Lamentesim and Aleph, we'll see all the sheets which we haven't seen yet as to whether it's a Drasha Gemura or not. But to the Rambam, it seems pretty clear that it's a Drasha Gemura. We're sticking with that for now. Otherwise, you're right. Meaning, if it's not a Drasha Gemura, then the whole thing is not relevant to our discussion at all. That it's a completely different discussion. But in any case, in our Gemara, yeah, okay. that's a good point. So, what do we see here? What are the different, shitas? Add the Mishnah Melech. How did the Rambam know that the Rabbanan's affected the Raisa here? That Shmios being usher, the Isra Rabbanan of Shmios changes the Knas and the Chiv Nisumi the Raisa? He says he knew it from the Shita Mugmetz's question. The Rambam also isn't seen as only Drabbanan. Right? The Rambam Nisraibiyah says seen as Drabbanan. If Nisim is Drabbanan, go back to Chav Tessam and Beis. What about, basically the Shita Mugmetz says, Rashi is seen as Drabbanan and a Patiju from Knas. So why doesn't Shnios Patiju from Knas? Nisim is different from Shnios. The Mishnah said, the Rambam says Nisim is Drabbanan Patiju from Knas. So Shnios also Patiju from Knas. And when we interpret the Gemara Deflam and Vavam and Aleph, that is, what the Mishnah Melech says, he puts together this Rambam. And this Rambam says, the Rambam says, Nesinas Drabbanan, and yet it pops even Kasim Doraisa. Why was Shnias Drabbanan pops even Kasim Doraisa? Ah, there's one Gemara that sounds otherwise. Who reinterpret that one Gemara that sounds otherwise? Ah, what about? Sorry. Let's just see these two ways of explaining the Rambam. What does the Rambam hold? Keset Mishnah. Mishnah Melech. Say, Iser Derabbanan is considered Aser Midoraisa. As opposed to, the Marasasom says, Iser Derabbanan is Chashav Heter Midoraisa. Right, so the nafkamina is number one. What about Shnios? Says Pshat in the Rambam. Right, miut migziras hakasuv, and he says like Pshat in the Gemara, which is midoraisa chayav umidrabanan gazru iser. He says, the Mishnah Melech, this is Nesina, right? he says this is the Makar of the Rambam, that an Isser Drabanan is poter from Knas. What will the Mora Sosan have to say? Either like the Shidu Gbetzes Michalik between them, but that doesn't seem like he likes Michalik between them. He would probably say, right? He would probably say like one of the answers we gave. Right? We gave many answers. It could be Lav Davka there, it could be there's different kinds of Nesinas. No, he'll figure something out. This also ties back to the discussion we had about Maitzah Shabbos. Right? Remember, there are two Gemaras that sounded like, the Rabbanim don't affect the Raisas, that the Rabbanim are still considered perfectly had to write the Raisa, the Shneels, which he reinterpreted, and the Maitzah Shabbos. What about Maitzah Shabbos? The Rambam doesn't say anything in the Gemara. The Rambam doesn't say anything. But the pshat in the Gemara is like the, right, if Maisa Shabbos is Drabanan, then you're Chayiv Dal Behei. And then he says, that's great. If Maisa Shabbos is Drabanan, you're Chayiv Dal Behei. If Shnios is Drabanan, you are Chayiv Knas. If Shnios is Drabanan, you're Chayiv Mosil Isha. The only reason you don't do it is because they made Xer against it. Who answered up the Rambam that Maisa Shabbos? Rav Chaim. Right here, you have to say like Rav Chaim, that's because Maitzah Shabbos is not an Isser Chepta, right? What did he say? He says Maitzah Shabbos was different. Maisa Shabbos was not a real Isser. They didn't really tell you the Chetza was Usser. They just told you a Knas. Okay, a Knas is different. Knas midrabanan would not affect the Dindar Raisa. Why? Because then they just told you not to use it as a Knas. They didn't tell you it's fundamentally Usser. And here, he'd be similar to the Shidu and Kibetzes. What is the... Let me just put this a little more clearly. What is the Reb Chaim answer? Reb Chaim says, Maisa Shabbos is a knas, not a real Isser. A real Isser Rabbanan is considered Usser even min HaTorah. But just a knas, if they just made a knas, that's only an Isser Gavra. Knas means the Gavra shouldn't be nanah from it. It doesn't mean it turns Usser midoraisa. Only a real Isser like Shneos, which is a real Isser. Shidu Gatzis thinks it isn't. But Pashas, it is. They really made them essential arise. And the scene is a real Isser. And Chulshish Vazar is a real Isser. But a Knas is different. So here, similarly, Rach, Bidas HaRamam says that an Isser, Atzmi, a fundamental Isser, even if it's a gzeira, is different from a knas shabu yehene, etc. Right? From a knas not to be netted for little Shabbos, that's not considered also on the right level. That's just Mr. Gavra. You shouldn't be too happy, or you shouldn't be encouraged in little Shabbos. But a fundamental issue like Shneos or Nesina, that's considered also even the Doraisa level. Now, I just want to conclude with trying to figure out who's right, the Mishnah Melech or Mora Sasa. What does the Rambam hold? So the Rambam hold that Yisurim Drabbanan are considered also even the Doraisa level? Or no, like Mora Sasa, Yisurim Drabbanan are considered much on the Doraisa level. Right, what's the status of this? So I mentioned a few Rambams here, and I think the Diyuk, all these Diyukim are really Rav Chanan's. First of all, the Mishnah Melech himself brings all the Diyukim. He says, I have many Diyukim that, what's the machlok between me and the Maharash? The Maharash thinks that Drabbanans should not affect the Doraisa. Only if they made it Zera, then you can't do it. And I think, no, Drabbanans are fundamentally considered Usher and Ein Aroi Midoraisa. So he brought a few Rayas. One of his Rayas is very good. Says, we know Chazal Darshan that, let's say something's not fair in the Torah, right? What happens if the wife commits adultery, right? Then might have committed adultery, you take her to the base of Mikdash, she drinks the water and she dies, right? So you say, that's not fair.
maybe the husband was sleeping with all the other married women in the neighborhood and committing adultery just as much. So that's not fair. How come he gets away with it and she doesn't? So what does that answer? But? Well, no, that's her paramour. Meaning, there are two different questions. One question is, how come she gets killed by the water and the guy who slept with her doesn't? Does that answer? He also dies. It's a different question. What if the husband also sleeps around? How come the husband can sleep around and yet his wife will get killed by the water? Well, that's another answer.
It won't work.
It won't. Right? If the man is Minukumi Avon, the water kills his wife. And if not, I mean, if he also sleeps around, then his wife will get away with it. Why? Because why should she be punished? If he got away with it, then it's not fair. She also has to get away with it. That's a din d'oraisa. Meaning, it's a din d'oraisa. It's even more than din d'oraisa. It's a din in, like, the mystery, the miracles that come from Shemayim. Right? This woman committed, two identical women committed adultery the exact same way. One of their husbands is a big tzniyistic tzaddik, and she drinks the water and dies. And the other one, since her husband also was parit barayos, she drinks the water and doesn't die. And if we know that he did it, then she doesn't drink the water in the first place. So the Mishnah says, hold on a second. Said at the Rambam, any man who ever did Isurei Biyah in his whole life, the water does not bodik his wife. What does he add? Even if he did which Isur? Isur Rabbanan, of all our sauce of Beis Chalav, which is an Isur Rabbanan. So, the Rambam says, hold on. If this guy did an Isur Rabbanan, the water does not bodik his wife. Says the Mishnah Melech, why not? Why not? It says, Yumar Asasom, the water should be building his wife, right? There should be a sultan ritual. Mita Oraisa, he's Manuka Miyavon. Mita Oraisa, he never did Yisrei Bia. So why do you think that? How do you explain? This is, what are you going to explain? That really the water is building his wife. They just made a gezeirah. Shevi Alta said that he shouldn't bring her to the Beis HaMikdash. Says, first of all, this is not what he says. What I said, the Rambam says the water's not bodik his wife, not just make gzeira. And second of all, why did they ever make that gzeira? Like, who does it help to make that gzeira? Like, the just because he slept around, why should they make a gzeira that he shouldn't check if his wife committed, that she should be able to get away with adultery? So he brings this to a very good raya. How come, let's say it more clearly, he says the raya on one level. He says, according to you, Drabbanan should never affect Oraisa unless Chazal think you need a special gzeira. Why would they make a special gzeira not to bring his wife to the Beis HaMikdash and give her the water just because he wants to miss Drabbanan? I'm adding to the Mishnah's question. Drabbanan doesn't just say don't do it. He says the water doesn't work. The Mesota doesn't kill her. Hold on a second. If you hold Drabbanan, don't really change the Oraisa, then whether or not this guy didn't miss Drabbanan shouldn't affect whether the water kills his wife or not.
But he's still not Naki.
That's the same thing you're asking before. Okay, hold that thought still. So the Mishnah Melech brings this raya. It's a very good raya. We see that the sheet of the Rambam is not just in this part. It's not that really the Doraisa doesn't change. The Doraisa, you're still chayav to marry the Shneels. It's just a Gzeira Drabbanan not to do it b'shev el tasa like Shofar and Shabbos. No, it's that whatever did Rabbanan Aser turns into part of the Torah. V'haraya. If I boil an Isser Drabbanan, then that turns into part of the Torah, and now my wife can't be a Sota anymore. He brings a few other rayas. Also here. He says, although you could also question this also, right? The Pshat and the Gemara, you'll see clearly, is that someone who did an Isser Drabbanan, Sachbein Tefila L'Tefila, right, goes back from Melchama. Right, Choser Meyorcha Melchama. So he says, according to you, really need a raisa, he's perfectly clean. Why shouldn't he go out to war? Right, that's not as strong a raya. And then he brings other raya, is that if a kohen marries a chalutza, right, then he's not matamila. They went against the Torah, and they said, don't go to her funeral, because she's a issa rabbanan to you. He says, why should they make that gzera? Like, they don't need to make that gzera. It's not going to, like, protect anything in the Torah once she's dead. So he says it's a clear pattern of the Rambam. It's not like Mara Sussan thinks that the Rabbanim don't affect Oraisa, except unless they made a special gzera b'shev el tasa. No. The Rabbanim affect Oraisa. If a Kohen marries a Chalutza, then he is married to someone who Oraisa is not fit for him. If a guy talks being Tfila Tfila, he is Mida Oraisa a sinner. If a guy slept with our Sussan based Chalav, he is Mida Oraisa a parutz, over on Isurei Biyah. And therefore, it affects all the din d'oraisa, and the man's not bodik his wife. I think another good
raya that Rav Chanan brought is from Hilchos Mamrim. A zakin mamrim is chayiv misa only if he argues about isurei karis. What's one of the examples? If he argues about chametz. Right? I mean, there's an exception, but let's think of the isurei karis for now. That's still one funny exception. Right? A zakin mamrim is only chayiv misa if he argues about isurei karis. Such as chametz and yom kippur and things like chilev and dam and things like that. And arayos. So Ram says, what's the example? They argue whether the chametz is usur in Bahana in the sixth hour or Motzer Bahana in the fifth hour. What's strange about that Rambam? Chametz in the fifth and sixth hour is an issue of abundance, it's not a few of cars. So the Kesem Mishnah asked that question, gives a different answer. We won't repeat now.
Even in the eighth hour.
Correct. But what's the pshat in the Rambam? They're only arguing about chametz in the fifth and sixth hour. But nonetheless, that's called a chiyuv karis because it's a chametz d'oraisa, and chametz d'oraisa is part of an isser that has karis. Right? It's part of the isser karis of chametz. Why? Because it's not just a drabanan. It's a real isser chametz. An isser chametz is considered, obviously he's assuming an argument noksha would also be considered an argument about chiyuv karis, as long as they argue about an isser that has karis in one of the forms. Chametz Rabbana is an Isser that has Karis in one of its forms because it's really considered part of the Dinei Chametz Vidoresa.
That's really a different concept. When someone's over an Isser, there's an Isser to Rabbana, you're over an Isser to Rabbana. But here, this guy is publicly confronting the Rabbana in what they say, and he's saying it's wrong. That's an Isser to Rabbana by itself.
Okay. Okay, you're right. Maybe we'll come back to that. Let me just point out where the Rav Chaim starts is Chulin Shnishta Shabazara. What does the Rambam hold about Chulin Shnishta Shabazara? Because the Rambam is clear that Chulin Shnishta Shabazara is called Shita Sheina Ruuya. So Rav Chaim started with this is a big machlokus. What status of Chulin Shnishta Shabazara is, right? The Rambam says Chulin Shnishta Shabazara. He makes it sound like it's only us and Midrash Sofer, only us and Rabbana, and yet. He says that Shchul Shnishchud Azar is Pater from Kisei Adam. Right? He says, Ein Chai the Kisei Adam, Adam Shchita Ru'uya La'achila, Lefika, Hashokhi Chulim Ba'azar, etc. is Pater. Why does he Pater Shchul Shnishchud Azar from Kisei Adam? So Rav Chaim agrees with this Mishloh Melech. Let's just add before. Chulin Shnishchud Ba'azar. Rav Chaim says, this is his makor. He says Chulin Shnishta Azara is only Asur Midrabanan. Yet you're potter from Kisui Adam. Why would Nisur Midrabanan be potter from Kisui Adam? Don't say, oh, they made a special gzera against covering the blood of Chulin Shnishta. No, that's not true. There's no gzera against. You're allowed to cover the blood of anything you want, right? So why are you potter from Kisui Adam? It's not like shofar and Shabbos, right? You're allowed to put dirt on anything in the world. So why are you potter from Kisui Adam? It must be because Chulin Shnishta Azara, which are Asur Midrabanan, are considered a roi even midoraisa. And the Maharash Rosh would have to say that Chulin Shnishta Azara, that it's Asur Midrabanan and potter Mikisui Adam. So that proves the Mishloh Melech Derech. And this is how the Rav Chaim started with it, Maisa Shabbos. The Rambam sheet does not like Pshat in the Gemara. The Rambam sheet is that even an Isser D'Rabbanan is considered Usser and Ein Roi even Midaraisa. We're not going into this big machlokas now, but at the beginning of Hilchos Shchita, the Maharash would have to say, you would say, Chulin Shenishletu Ba'azara are Asur and Midaraisa. The Rambam's language is very unclear whether Chul Shenish Ba'azara is an Isser D'Rabbanan or Isser D'Raisa. Right? So the Mara Sasa would say, Chulin Shnishta Azara is an Isser D'Oraisa, it has nothing to do with our Sugya. Rav Chaim says, Chulin Shnishta Azara, he's the Daik of the Rambam, is only Isser D'Rabbanan. So why does it pop from Kisui Adam? Because the Rambam holds that Isser D'Rabbanan is considered Isser D'Oraisa. This really comes down to, right, we're not going to totally get into this now, but it comes down to a very fundamental Hakira, which all of these Achronim debate, which is, what does the Rambam mean when he says that all Isurim Drabbanan are Asur Midoraisa because of Lo Sasser? He says all Isurim Drabbanan are Asur Midoraisa because of Lo Sasser. What does he mean by that? So there's a very famous Meshach Chachma in the beginning of Parsha Shoftim who says the Rambam doesn't mean that Isurim Drabbanan are Mamish Asur Midoraisa. What he means is that what he means is that rejecting the authority of the Chachamim is asur b'daraisa. Meaning, being a Karaite is asur midaraisa. Exempting yourself from the Rabbanu Zos deraisa. Ignoring the Rabbanu Zos deraisa. And he compares this to Mori b'malchus. Midaraisa, do you have to listen to the king? Yes. Why? Because what he says is really asur? No, because how would you ever fight a war and have society if you didn't have to listen to the government, right? We all know we have to listen to the government. Why do you listen to the government? Not because they're right. I mean, they might be right. We obviously, we endeavor through the political process to have them be right as frequently as possible, right? How well we succeed, one could be cynical about. But he says, why do you have to listen to the king? Well, because if you don't listen to the king, then society will fall apart, right? So it's not that whatever the king says is usher. It's just that you have to respect authority. So likewise says in the Shachachma, the Rambam didn't mean that Issa Daraisa is really Issa Rabban is really Asur Daraisa. He just meant that whatever is Asur, he just meant that disobeying the Chachamim is Asur Daraisa.
How's that different than the Ramban Shita?
How is that different than the Ramban Shita? So the Reb Elchanan in that which they quote Rav Chaim is saying that's actually Ramban Shita, which in which case it can't be the Ramban Shita, or it could be the Ramban Shita is even less than that. It could be the Ramban Shita that the Torah didn't even tell you have to respect the authority of the rabbis. The Torah told you absolutely nothing, which then brings up the question we're not going to answer now. So why, if the Torah told us absolutely nothing whatsoever, then why do we have to listen to them?
The Ramban, what's the Ramban's
name? Oh, no, Ramban hasn't answered that. He says, Lo Sasser, I apologize, the Ramban explicitly deals with that. The Ramban says, Lo Sasser doesn't mean you have to listen to Dina Darabanan. What does the Ramban say, Yaakov? Lo Sasser means you have to listen to the way they're mefarish the psukim of the Torah, Daraisa. That if the Torah says pre-eats hadar and you don't know what a pre-eats hadar is, and they say esro, you have to listen. That's what sasher means. The Torah says sharta la'os al yodecha, and they say the os has to be made of leather, then you have to listen to them. But only if the Torah says l'sasek ha'malacha, and they say the 39 laws, you have to listen to them. But not if they make up new rules. Right? Okay. So the Rambam says that's the etzem achlokis. The Ramban says sasher means you have to listen to them when they interpret the psukim. But it doesn't mean they can make up new rules. Why should they make up new rules? And the Rambam says, no, the Sasser means you have to listen to them, bane if they're interpreting the Pesukim, bane if they're telling you over the Masorah they got from Moshe Rabbeinu, bane if they're making up new rules. So the question is, what does the Rambam mean that you have to listen if you're making up new rules? Says the Meshech Chachma, it's not because the new rules really become Yisur of Daraisa. No, it just means that you have to respect their authority, because how are you going to have a secular society without respecting secular authority? And how are you going to have a Jewish society without respecting Torah authority? And you can't say, I'll only respect authority about what God said, but they're not allowed to make new rules. Just like in secular society, you can't say, I'll only respect the Constitution, but not respect the new rules they legislate, because society would fall apart if you can't legislate new rules. Likewise in the Torah. You can't say, I'll only respect the Torah, but not the new rules that Chacham say, because religion will fall apart if they can't make new rules based on the circumstances. That's the Meshech Chachma. However, this Mishloh Melech, and this Rav Chaim, Rav Chana Mele quotes Rav Chaim, he said in the stencil of Mike's Shabbat, or Chana quotes from Kudsh Debris Sofrim, as against the Meshech Chachma. That's also very famously what the Asfindo writer Joseph Engel says. They say, no, that's not what the Rambam meant. The Meshech Chachma is cute. That's not what the Rambam meant. Little Sosser tells us that whatever the Chachamim Aser actually becomes an Issa Doraisa. Little Sosser says, whatever the Rabbanim say, you know, it's like giving the Rabbanim the signet ring, whatever the Rabbanim say is now stamped as an Issa Doraisa. And that's shot in the Rambam. That's basically this machlokas in philosophy between the Meshech Chachma says, it's not that Issur Darban are really Usur Min HaTorah. It's just that you have to respect authority. And he says, maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong. Obviously, the Meshech Chachma was an Orthodox person. He thought Chazal usually got it right, you know, high 90% of the time. But he says, but that's not the point. The point isn't whether it's really us or not. The point is you have to have authority. As opposed to the other philosophical shita of Rebbe Chanan and Rebbe Yosef Engel, the Asfindo Raisa, saying, no, the Rambam shita was deeper than that. He meant whatever Chazal Asr is really Asr min HaTorah. And Hashem said, I'm Asr min HaTorah, everything I write and everything they say. That is really the machlokas here between the Mishlam Melech and the Moras Chasson and this Rambam. The Mishlam Melech says, the Rambam thinks whatever's Asr min HaTorah, I'll come back to you in a second. Whatever's Asr min HaTorah is whatever's Asr min HaRabban is really Asr min HaTorah. Therefore, Shnios Nesina Asr min HaRabban is considered Einu Rei L'Kayim HaMidoraisa, and Shnios, which are Asr min HaRabban, are Einu Rei L'Kayim HaMidoraisa. Oh, the Gemara sounds differently. That Gemara was only according to Shimon HaTeimani. And that's what Rechaim says. Chulin Shnios Mazar is only Asr min HaRabban. It's Shchita Sheinu Rei L'Midoraisa. Maisa Shabbos only Rabbanan? Oh, that also, if it was a realist in Rabbanan, would have been Shdicha Midoraisa. However, that wasn't a realist in Rabbanan, that was just a Knas. And a Knas, they just told the Gavri to refrain from it, they didn't really Asr it. Says Reb Chaim. This is all as opposed to the Derech of Moras Chasson, who says no. Moras Chasson would fit the Mishnah Chachma philosophically. He would say, no, whatever's Asr Darabbanan is only Asr Darabbanan. I know we end up having to listen to that because you need to have respect to authority. But it's not really Asr min HaTorah, it's really perfectly Mutter min HaTorah. And, I apologize. And therefore, when the Rambam says here, that Shnios, you don't marry, because we'll see Elisha, he meant Shnios, you don't marry because of Gzira Drabbanan, and it's like Shofar and Shabbos, where you should marry, but then you end up not doing it. Nesina, really, if the scene is Rabbanan, then there should be a Knas. And you have to have one of these answers on the days. Chulishus Zara, he would say, that's also Daraisa. That's why you put them in Kisi Vadat. Maisa Shabbos, you say Kipshuto. Since Maisa Shabbos is Rabbanan, all the Rabbanans are Silchai Dalam Hei. So these are two very, very different ways to look at the Rambam. Lani is Dati. I think the Mishnah Melech has a good point, or Rechana develops this in the Kuntra Tiberi Sofrim, which is all about the nature of Rabbanans, which is that you say if a guy did Shnios Larayos or Bol or Sas Beischama, the mind's not bodik his wife. That sounds like it really was Asr Daraisa. That seems to be a good riot. If then they argue that Chomitz B'Shah Shishis, that's considered arguing about Isuri Karis. And if they're arguing about the nature of authority, that's not an Isur Karis. But if they're arguing about something that's really called Chametz, that's an Isur Karetz. That sounds like it really does turn into Chametz D'Oraisa. Chametz D'Rabbanan turns into Chametz D'Oraisa. Bias Asuras D'Rabbanan turns into Bias Asuras D'Oraisa. Treif D'Rabbanan turns into Non-Shchita, Shchita Sheinu Ruya Mid'Oraisa. Shneos D'Rabbanan turns into Isha Sheinu Ruya Mid'Oraisa. I think the Pashup Shad of the Rambam is very much like the like the Mishnah Melech, which follows the philosophical shita of Rav Elchanan and the Rav Yosef Engel, Ayin Shum, if you are interested in seeing the philosophy at greater length. Okay, but this all comes out of this sugya, because again, the pshat of Lamed Vav and Lamed Dalet and our parak, it all comes from our parak from Eilun Aros. Pshat twice in Eilun Aros, the best sugyas about this sound like Drabbanans don't count on the Daraisa level. And then we get the whole discussion, maybe Al Tefker Bez and Hefker, they shouldn't. But Pshat of the Rambam, and Moras Chasson said the Rambam agrees. But Pshat of the Rambam, the Drabbanans do count as Usher on a Daraisa level. Now, the only thing that I would end that Joel keeps wanting to point out is that it could be that within the Rambam, it might depend, you have to really find me something on the other side to the country says, maybe it's only when we're dealing with what's roughly Drabbanans count at a Daraisa level. But if we're dealing with ones like the Etzem Usser, they wouldn't count. That's what you want to say, right?
That's only one.
Okay. So clearly one could differentiate between different areas of halacha. It doesn't have to be a black and white answer. We already saw in the Sisha Omer it's not a black and white answer, although we didn't totally understand what he meant. And we saw in Reb Chaim it's not a black and white answer. Not all Drabbanans count as Usser Daraisa, only real Drabbanans, not just the Knas. And we saw the Shittim Gebetzes. I don't know if he was talking about Hefker Bez and Hefker were talking about the Rambam.
No, if I'm further, isn't it? He does the same. There are some that are Yisro Gavr and some that are Yisro Chemtza. The Yisro Chemtza would be like a Doraisa. The Yisro Gavr is just a, I don't know, whatever it is. But it's not
correct, although his only answer, his example, Yisro Gavr, is the Maisa Shabbos. Right, you have to figure out what his other examples might be, if there are other examples.
Yeah, and I think this agrees in the other direction. He's talking about the Rambam says that Bukolashi Yerucha even refers to Minhagos and Katonos.
Mm-hmm.
So then he asks this question: why don't you make a bracha on Halav Shulish Kodesh? Because if you have to, Yechuyah Midurayis, that's what it is.
Yes.
So he comes.
That is Bachal Chatzagava right there. That's a good hara. That is a very good hara. Okay, so I'm not going to explain that hara now. But it's absolutely correct and relevant. Let's leave it at this for now. Again, let's leave it at this for now. We have two pretty mafurish gemaras in Ilunaros versus Nesina, which already creates a problem, which the Mishlemah claims is what got the ball rolling for the Rambam, and this funny sounding Rambam, which also seems to push in the other direction. And then, one easy derech to say, Drabbanan's never count on the Raisa level, and will answer up Messina, or just not hold the sheet in the first place, and will answer up the Rambam, or just not hold like the Rambam in the first place. You could take somewhat of a compromise. Sometimes Drabbanan's affect the Raisa, sometimes they don't, depending on how serious the issue Drabbanan is, and whether they really made Nisar Chetza or not. And you could say, like Shan the Rambam, Drabbanan's always affect the Raisas. And except Maisa Shabbos was, you know, you say because that's an Ishagavra, but in general, at least, and Shneos, the Gemara didn't mean that they were considered Roi Midaraisa. It just meant it's Yeshva Habaya Midaraisa, even though it's a bit of a Dachim Shagman from the Lashon of the Gemara. And more interesting, on a very fundamental level, is what is this whole sugi about? We started this in the Yesh Amar, it was just about Hefker as an Hefker. When did the Rabbanan choose to be Mafker more things to make their laws more consistent? When did they choose not to be Mafker so many things and not make their laws consistent? When we get to the Rambam, we see it's not about Hefker Bez and Hefker anymore. He's not dealing with Mamanos, he's dealing with Psukim. It's about whether fundamentally the Rabbanans count on the Daraisa level or do not count on the on the Daraisa level. And here we saw two different approaches in the Lumbus, which we mentioned Baal Peh corresponds to a different approach to the philosophy of what the Rambam's real shita about the nature of the authority of the Chachamim is. Clearly, there are a lot more chilukim that could be said. It could depend what kind of din d'oraisa. We said it could depend what kind of din d'rabbanan. It could depend what kind of din d'oraisa, which are both issues that Joel just brought up. We could ask another interesting question, which is, here we dealt with isurim d'rabbanan affecting d'oraisa. What about, well, heterim d'rabbanan, you never affect d'oraisa, that's a rule. D'rabbanan get mad or something, actively, the chacham, the Torah answered, don't think it tells us now. A different question, parallel, different question is, how about takonos and dini mamonos d'rabbanan, how do they affect d'oraisa, which is a sugya that I don't think we dealt with this year, although I think we might have in the past year, and maybe we'll leave for another time. Okay, we didn't get to the discussion of the Mechila, which is a very fascinating discussion, unfortunately, yet. And we didn't get to the discussion of Ayinus yet, so we're running a little behind. And we have almost the whole shiur left on the Makoros. Okay, so we might have to spend some of our time catching up or filling in some of the brackets. I'll give a few Makoros for those who want to go ahead.
You could wait till 6 in the morning to send. You don't have to send them at 4:30.
By 6, the kids wake up, and things get crazy, and, you know, it's, you can't wait till 6 in the morning. This morning at 5:50, I had a kid tugging at my arm saying, can you wake up and catch